As the great Steve Coppell once said, spending money is a risk. The more you spend, the less you risk. Reading Football Club smashed three past recently relegated Cardiff City on Sunday afternoon with a brace from new £8 million man George Puskas on his league debut. Welcome to episode 199 of the Tile West End with your host, me, Mark Mayo, and with Alan Westy West. How's it going, mate?
Very well, thank you. And with your intro there, I mean, Steve Coppell said that, but he brought Emma Svay and Greg Halford and they didn't last too long, did they?
No, he didn't. He perhaps isn't learning his own lessons, basically, in that sense. But let's hope Jose Gomez and Nigel Howe are at the moment. A 3-0 win for Reading on the weekend in front of the Sky Cameras Den over Cardiff City, as just mentioned. Westy, this was we'll obviously get into this game in a bit more detail in a second, but just as a sort of overview, this was a nice little day, wasn't it?
Mate, I tell you what, I haven't been that excited since I found a tenner in my old jacket. It was amazing. I'm out of there smiling. It was more like what we all want to see, attacking football with flair and players that can score goals. And we all know if you can got two players up front that can score goals, you can get out of this division. And they look like a side now that could go on to do very well this year.
Yeah, that's absolutely all that we're kind of asking for at the moment is a good season that we can enjoy with some entertaining football. And just a quick word before we move on into the recap then. Next week there won't be a show in terms of the recapping the West Brom and Huddersfield games, because next week, as you might have imagined, is our 200th episode, and that is a bit of a one-off special, so not too much analysis, but a lot in the way of fun. Some familiar faces joining us to recount their favourite Reading memories, and Wester, you are one of those doing that as well.
Yes, we've called that some time ago as well, I believe.
Yeah, well, actually, slightly organised, I'd like to think of myself. So that's all in the bank now, that's scheduled. So unless I've clicked the wrong date, that should be coming out about 9:30 on Monday morning. So hope I'll be away, I'll be in Cornwall during then. We'll probably very little signal. So if it all goes wrong, I'll have no idea. So hopefully that'll all be good. So let's jump in now to recap the Cardiff game.
View from the Tarlhurst End. Recapping this week's Championship action.
First win of the season in the bag then, Westy, and here's a stat to kick us off. It's the first time Reading have been above 19th in the Championship table in 530 days. We're only 17th, but that just really shows, if I'm pretty sure that stat's correct at least, just shows how bad it's been for us recently.
I think we've all deserve a slight change in fortunes from the last two or three seasons, that's for certain. And what a change in fortunes it was, Mark. I really enjoyed it on Sunday.
Yeah, we went into it with a 3-5-2 formation. This was kind of tested in the midweek win over Wickham, which was the 1-1 draw, which went to penalties, and we progressed into the next round of the League Cup with that formation. For me, I mean, the defence wasn't really tested in this game, so I'm not going to say that we've, you know, three at the back is bang on, that's what we want. But in terms of the attack, with the two men up front, Puskas and Yao, they're physical, they're direct. You have Swift and Ajaria in behind him, very creative. I thought they both of them played amazingly on Sunday with the sort of freedom and movement they had, with Pele keeping it behind. And then Yadom and Richards down the flanks, I thought they're very confident and very fit. They kept going the entire game. That attack, I was really impressed by it.
Do you know what? I was listening to Radio Berkshire on the way into the stadium, like most people, and they were questioning the three at the back against Cardiff. And I thought it was quite prudent, to be fair, because we know what Cardiff offer you. They offer you big balls into the box, long throws, bullying type forwards and bullying centre backs. And you've got to stop their aerial threat. And to put Morrison in is probably, you'd have to say, our best aerial centre back. I thought he definitely had to come to the side one way or another. We've conceded a lot of goals in the first two games. I think it gave us a nice cushion. It was great to see a goalkeeper that you can trust in. I mean, he didn't have a great deal to do, but what he did do, he'd done very well. And the fullbacks, Richards, I think it's probably his best game for Reading. I've seen him play. I thought he was excellent. Not only did he defend well and keep them at bay with some good wingers that they've got, he also got forward really well. Obviously got us a penalty at the end. Great energy. Ajaria was, I thought he was different level. I thought he was excellent. I wouldn't want to get into a dance contest with him because his feet are so fast that you'd never win it. Swift, I think having better players around him now could make him a better player. I've been quite critical of him over the last couple of years. He doesn't do enough for me, but I think with the players he has with him now, it will make his life a lot easier than it has been. And obviously with the two strikers, I mean, it was a joy to watch, to take the player on and run three quarters of length of the pitch. You can see why they paid a lot of money for him. And it's about time we had a striker that we could rely on that. And again, some of the conversations were on Radio Berkshire that we haven't played two up front. under Jose, and you can see why they haven't, because they only had two strikers that were good enough to play up front together. But with these two, I think they complement each other really, really well. He took a lot of knocks early doors and allowed Puskas to play his game. I think the only thing I would say about the guy from Sheffield Wednesday is he needs to up his work rate a little bit. Whether he was just tired at the back end of the game, I don't know. But his work rate was lacking with the last 20 minutes to go. But other than that, he took all the hits and it made Puskas have lots of space to score his goals. Now, whether he did earmarked himself now for other defenders to keep their eye on him, it was a bit of a surprise element, maybe. But he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, it's interesting. You say for future games, the problem with Reading over the last few years has kind of been every great performance has been met by an awful performance straight after, where teams have worked us out and we haven't been able to deal with that. So hopefully it is, you know, this formation, it looks like it'll be a little bit harder to stop it, even if they do kind of work it out. And I want to talk about Ajaria for a little bit, because what I noticed at this at the Wickham game in the week, because I was quite close to the pitch on the side stand, and it struck me how big he is as a human. He must be 6'3" or something like that, and he's pretty wide as well, pretty stocky. But his turns and his sort of step overs and everything, completely the way it combines, it's almost sort of like Yaya Touré esque in maybe Pogba, you could say as well, if you want to sort of draw those sort of comparisons, because the technical ability combined with his physicality, I put in my player ratings from the game that he could Cruyff turn his way out of a shark attack. Because that is exactly the sort of thing. And there was one moment in the first half when he just dazzled about three defenders, put a brilliant ball across the box, and the Cardiff defender managed to clear it off the line, basically. And if we can sign him for £3 million at the end of the season, as supposedly we have an agreement to do, that's an absolute steal, isn't it?
It is an absolute steal. And I think if I was in charge of Reading, I'd try and give him the money now before the price went up anymore. Because he had it all. I mean, at Wickham, he was very good. And on Sunday against Cardiff, he was excellent. He's just got it all. He's got everything. He can run with a ball. He's decent in the air. He can tackle. He can nick a ball like Ledgerwood used to do back in the day. I just think he looks like a complete midfielder. And I think we haven't seen a player like that play for Reading, certainly in my time, that can do all those aspects. I mean, Steve Sidwell probably would have to save maybe him. But even Sidwell didn't have the skill that Ajaria's got. And I think what an acquisition that's been or going to be.
Yeah, well, Sidwell kind of popped into my mind as you're speaking, and I think Sidwell had it all in terms of the era that he was in. Not centre midfielders didn't necessarily need to be as skillful as they are now, sort of thing. And into the second half, the goal that Reading scored, the third goal, was on the counter, John Swift with it, and moments after that, we had the chance to make it 4-0, but Yaku Mate missed a penalty. Moments before Swift's goal, however, George Puskas broke free and missed a brilliant chance for his hat-trick, one-on-one, chipping the keeper and putting it just about wide. But Puskas, I must say, I thought at Wickham he was very average. He struck me as, I suppose in the context now with hindsight, you could say it was very much a sort of pre-season game for him, because he looked a little bit off the pace. He got round the keeper at one point and didn't just shoot. And I think that's the kind of thing that you want from a striker. If they're always straight to goal and they know what they want to do and they obviously hit the back of the net, then that's a sign of a top quality striker. He wasn't that at Wickham. But then against Cardiff, that first goal, as you say, and the second goal was a complete poacher's effort as well. Showed that sort of the confidence and the single-mindedness that I think I'm trying to think of the last sort of striker that Reading have had that reminded me of that. And I'm kind of lured towards Glenn Murray and obviously further back players like Lafondra as players who just had that I am going to score here approach. And with his physicality, it makes it very difficult for defenders to stop that.
Yeah, for me, like I said earlier, I think that that first goal especially was the sort of goal that you see Nicky Forster score. He very single-minded, very I'm scoring regardless. I mean, to be fair, probably the one he went through on goal, he should have given it to Mates for a tap-in. He tried to get his hat-trick. Now, it's fine when you're 2-0 up, get towards the end of the match. If he'd have missed that and it had been level, then I'm not sure he'd have got the plaudits he did. But he looks to me and reminds me of when I used to see, when Reading was in the Premier League especially, but a sort of Jermaine Defoe type striker where he is all out for himself to score goals. Sometimes that will be great because he scores goals like he did on Saturday. Other times you'd think, why didn't he square it? But again, if he gets you 20 goals this season, which he looks more than capable of, that will fire us up the league. And I'm not sure anyone's going to mind how greedy he is with the ball. I certainly won't, as long as he's putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, obviously there will be days when he can't hit a barn door, but that's, you know, hopefully those are going to be pretty infrequent. Just to mention before we move on then. One of the things that I noticed as well, the strength in depth that Reading had, because Andy Winnemossa was dropped and put on the bench. Lucas Boye, and as we said, Mate came off the bench as well. Then we've still got, who didn't feature on the bench or sat on the bench, were Obita, Blackett, Elise, Loader, Barrett, Adam, Baldock, McIntyre and Novakovic. All of those can be sort of dropped in and rotated into this side. Now, actually, in terms of our expectations for the season, I'm not obviously going to say that we are, you know, promotion pushing or want, but as the season drags on and injuries and everything hit, having that strength in depth is going to be a huge boost for us.
Definitely. I thought Lucas Boye looked like a player as well when he came on. He had a good first touch, a bit of skill about him. And again, he's not really found his feet in the championship yet, but he looked like more than capable of coming and doing. The thing is, and I say this all the time, if you're bringing players in, they should be starting. Because if you're not starting them, then why are you bringing them in? And to see Mate and players like that sat on the bench on Sunday, is how it should work. I think Mate has done a decent job, but I also think that he's not the best footballer in the world. He's a bit of a bull in a china shop sometimes, which has worked for us. He scored a few goals, but he's not going to score 20 goals at the moment. But now he's coming off the bench and he's going to be hungry to get goals because he's going to need to if he wants to get. That's the way it should work. And the fact that hasn't been working that way recently, where we've been bringing in players that have sat on the bench, means that the side hasn't improved. But if you look at the players that have come in this week, they've not only improved it, they've turned us into a team that's more than capable. Whether they fulfill that potential, we will see. But from the team at the start of the season, where we was full of basic young boys still learning the game, I said about Barrett at the time, I said he looked like he was lost during the match. Loader, he's done very little to impress me. I know everyone keeps saying that he's going to be a player to reckon with in the future, but from what I've seen of him, he's probably had about 20 odd games now. He looks all right, but he's not a starter, is he, by any stretch of the imagination, unless you want to finish in the bottom half. So these players that have come in now, they will raise the standard of everybody, and the fact that the players that have started every week are sat on the bench now is exactly what you want to see.
And that's the important thing, I think, with the academy products as well. If you look at teams like Spurs, who have bought through quite a few academy players in the last few years, you take like Winks and Walker-Peters were the sort of backups over the first couple of years in their team. They didn't just get dropped in straight away because they had to sort of earn their stripes 5 games a season, then 15 games a season. And that's the sort of place that players like McIntyre, Loader got a lot of games last season. But as you said, I don't think either that he developed at all. And him being, you know, in the reserves and playing 15, 20 games a season, absolute maximum, I think is probably better for him in terms of staggering his development. Same with Elise as well. He's still very young, so...
I'll tell you what though, especially Elise, from what I've seen of him, very much reminds me of an Ajaria type central midfielder. A very tricky sort of player, sort of rangy. So he could learn a lot from Ajaria, and as a backup replacement, you wouldn't be too upset if they swap roles now and again. The only one I felt sorry for was Rinomota. I didn't see the need to drop Rinomota. I think he could probably do just as good a job as Pele did. I thought Pele was okay, but didn't think he was brilliant, but again, he's just settled into the club, so you can't really judge him. But as a team performance, I mean, I would struggle to remember the last time I see Reading be so comprehensive winners in a home match. I thought they were excellent. I think another thing that was interesting that you might not have picked up was Gomez said that he has a philosophy, but then sometimes players change that philosophy for you. And I remember speaking to Adi Williams a while back when it was my show. And I asked him the question, do you pick your philosophy and play it regardless? And I think probably if we look back at Brendan Rodgers' era, he tried to bring in his philosophy with players that couldn't do it. And I think Gomez has looked at what he's got and the fact they've changed the formation to get probably the best players into the side certainly worked for us on Saturday. And I think going forward, he will do it all the more because what he said was you pick your philosophy around the players you've got to do it. And he's certainly got two fullbacks and get up and down the pitch. He's got three good midfielders in there now. He's got two strikers and he's got three excellent centre-backs. So I would be very surprised if he tinkered with that too much in the next coming 3 or 4 weeks. And it is quite an attacking formation. I know a lot of people are saying always five at the back. But to be fair, with Yidam and Richards playing fullbacks, I mean, they covered a hell of a lot of ground. And they're so energetic that they basically were playing as wingers that sometimes defended.
It's funny that you mentioned that Gomez thing. If we scripted it, we couldn't have scripted it any better in a sense, but obviously we haven't, because next week for the 20th episode, at the end of the show, I've sort of, as I think Wim did for the 100th episode, kind of put together a little bit of a compilation clip from our interviews and whatnot. And for my interview with Gomez last year, one of the bits that I dropped in was where he kind of says that It's the philosophy in terms of possession or long balls or counter-attacks is effectively just giving the players the tools to do what they can with the situation they're in. And when you're in a situation such as the one against, you know, Cardiff or on Wednesday night at West Brom, you have to be capable of sometimes keeping the play down and knocking it round, and sometimes just capable of knocking it forward and going on a counter-attack. And yeah, it seems like that's the sort of thing that the players maybe last season just weren't capable of doing, and the sort of players we have now are slowly getting there. But yeah, we'll actually hear now from Jose Gomez. We'll drop in his comments now, and then we'll come back and move on with the rest of the show.
Yeah, I'm very happy, like all the Reading fans, that they were again fantastic, supporting the players from the beginning. But we are just in the beginning. We need to give time and be patient with the players. They are better and better training by training, so I'm really confident in the future. Like all the clubs in all the world, we have ups and downs, but I know that in the end of the table, in the end of the league, we will be on the top of the table.
Quick look at the Championship then, Westy. Obviously, we've dropped this little excerpt in for the final part of the recap, but at the moment, there's not too much to gain from the Championship. As a general look at the moment, Charlton, Swansea and Millwall are all unbeaten at the moment, which is quite interesting. But there are also some of the larger teams like Huddersfield, Stoke and Middlesbrough are weirdly struggling at the moment. We had this at Reading. When you're in a club that is, you know, not meeting expectations, is losing a lot of games, no matter what sort of manager or players you can bring in, for the short term, it's really difficult to change that round.
It is very difficult dropping out of the Premier League or even coming up. I think coming up is a lot easier, to be honest, because you're on a crest of a wave to a certain extent. I mean, Charlton, like you said, have started really well. I don't think anyone see their start as something that was going to happen. I think we all think that eventually they might start struggling. But it's amazing what confidence can do to sides. And Huddersfield, I sat and watched their game the other night, and they were, well, I thought they were poor all over the pitch. And Fulham weren't great, but they were certainly better than Huddersfield. And we know the manager's been sacked now. He's the first casualty of the sacking season. And they look like they might struggle all season. But again, like you said, if you come up from the division below, you ride on that crest of a wave for a little while. Whereas the teams that got relegated, including Cardiff, you're used to losing, and that habit can be hard to get out of sometimes, no matter what division you're in.
Yeah, speaking of which, that is actually, we think, potentially Neil Warnock's last game at the Medeski Stadium as a visiting manager, and I think it could well be his last game against Reading total, because if Cardiff aren't very good this season, I really can see him resigning and retiring halfway through and packing in. So, you know, a fond farewell to Neil Warnock, Westy, and a manager we have a few interesting memories with, to say the least.
You know what, I think he said, so he made some nice comments actually. I did watch the TV highlights when I got home, just because they won and I couldn't believe it, so I wanted to check. I listened to what Neil Warnock was saying. I think he holds Reading in quite fond admiration, because he said himself that he likes coming to Reading. He says it's a great ground to play football in. And he also said that I've got more than one or two experiences of things going wrong for me here. And we've been a bit of a bogey side for him down the years. But it's a bit like Robbie Savage when he retired at Reading. I think everyone sort of loves to hate him. And when they're gone, you tend to miss them. And I'd always thought he'd been a great manager for us at some point. With his direct style, he knows how to get out of the Championship. He's very experienced, and I think we will wish him well. But I don't like Cardiff particularly, so if I did get relegated, I wouldn't cry too many tears.
You know, he's actually, if I had to draw up a list of four or five podcast interviewees that I'd love to interview, he would genuinely be one of them, as to go through all his kind of Reading encounters over the years. So that's maybe he'll be available upon retirement, so we'll have to wait and see for that. But at the moment, let's crack on then and jump into the mailbag, which Westy is actually, after a win, is surprisingly full.
Wow.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Dave Delariviere kicks us off with with an email towards us at thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. Of course, you can get into us at the Facebook and Twitter, but also the email is always there and is where we tend to get our slightly longer questions. This is Dave's question to us, saying, I know you don't get much in the mailbag after a win, so I thought I'd drop you a line. What a game. Really difficult not to get carried away after that. The team shape looked excellent. The addition of Morrison into a back three just looked so solid. Richards looked great as a wing back, full of confidence. Swift and Ajari lit up the midfield and were enabled by Pele being a rock behind them. And Puskás and Yao, it took me back to Hunt and Long running rampant. I felt sorry for Yao. It looked like he was getting manhandled all the time and never getting anything for it. A true team effort, including the fans, roll on the rest of the season. And kind of on that note, Tommy sent us in a tweet saying, where should I stand for the open top bus parade around Reading when we win the league and FA Cup? Which is, maybe we should go for the League Cup at the moment. That's kind of the, perhaps with an easier tie, which we'll talk about a bit more in news bias. David Newell asking, should we stay at five at the back for West Brom or revert back to the four with Miazga and Moore? And Westy, I think, obviously, there is that fear that there is a weakness in this sort of back line at the moment that we aren't aware of and that teams will capitalise on. But for now, when you go straight into a game after like 2 days rest as well, I think you just have to basically go and do the same again.
Yeah, I think, again, West Brom, they've got their own threat. They're a good side. I mean, I think I've backed them to win the league at the start of the season just because they've been around the Championship a few years now and they've got a lot of good players. And I think Reading will need to be tight there. But judging by the way Reading played on Sunday, because of the threat Reading have got going forward now, that is a defence in itself. I said to my cousin, who sits a few seats down from me, I said, because you've got two players that can frighten you and can score goals, teams automatically bring players back to deal with them. So although we are technically playing three at the back, five at the back, whatever you want to say, it is quite a defence for us because teams have to come back and mark players. If you've got Bob Varson and Baldock up front, you're probably not quite so concerned if you let them run around a bit. But with the two players they've got now, just because of their quality, it automatically scares teams. I remember watching, I mean, you've seen Ronaldo play for Man United back in the day. Sometimes, even at Real Madrid, he wouldn't even walk back. He'd just stand up the pitch and automatically teams are looking over their shoulder thinking, we can't leave him there because we know what's going to happen. And that's the same for Reading at the moment. If you've got them, you've got their goal threat that we've got now, a bit like when we had Lovell and Quinn and Kitson and Doyle and all those players we've had in the past, they're so frightening that if you leave them, you know they're going to score goals. So you have to bring players back to defend against them. Cardiff tried to go gung-ho at the end, didn't they? They'd left themselves wide open. And I think teams will automatically defend deeper against Reading now because of the threat we've got up front where we didn't have it before and it's easy to go and take Reading on. So, yeah, it's interesting. And we'll see how it pans out again at the end of the season. But there's plenty to be excited about. And I agree with the first guy who wrote in. It's exciting, but let's not go over too much. They're still learning each other, how each other play, and let's hopefully they click and get better and better as the season goes on.
Yeah, and we have, as I say, West Brom in midweek with Mark Lawrence asking, do you play Zhao or Mate for West Brom? And kind of on the same topic, Royal Puskas, you know, putting who drops out of the starting 11 if you had to make one change for the next game. I don't think I'd put Mate in at the moment.
I definitely wouldn't.
I think he's a good player, you know, nine times out of ten. But for me, when you've got a striker who has scored two goals out of three games, for two different clubs already this season, and, you know, we're not going to drop Puskas, that's not going to happen. You just, as you were saying a minute ago, you have to give the players time to learn each other. And this partnership, if it is going to go anywhere, can really do without being rotated. And Mate, for all his credentials, I think, I'm not sure the stats of this exactly, but I kind of think that away games maybe aren't his forte and that maybe he's a bit better at home when we have got the opposition penned in and we can put balls into the box and whatnot. But when he's got to scrap and fight for it on his own, as you know, we're going to have to play on the counter-attack against West Brom quite a lot, I imagine. I wouldn't necessarily put him in.
No, I definitely wouldn't put him in. If you remember when I was on the show, first game of the season against Sheffield Wednesday, I said Mate doesn't lead the line well. What I meant by that is when the ball's played up to him, he doesn't hold it particularly well. With his back to goal, sometimes I think he's too weak for a big man. And with Zhao, you see on Sunday that when he got the ball, he got it to his feet. Again, I've questioned his work rate, but he got the ball to his feet and he played people in and he was a threat over the top. So I think you've got to let that partnership between them two flourish because I think they will complement each other as strikers, the pair of them. Whereas Mate, like I said, a bit of a ball in a china shop sometimes, still got some development to do. And he is a bit hit and miss sometimes, Mate. Was good last year, but if anyone can sit and tell me that he's a better player than them two, even Boy, who come on who looked like a player, if he's better than any of them three, then I would be prepared to have a debate about it because I don't think he is.
Yeah, well, Boy was the one who started against Wickham through the middle as well. So it's obviously that Gomez considers him a striking option. Obviously, he arrived as a winger, but Gomez clearly has some sort of faith in him.
To be fair, Mark, sorry, mate, to butt in on you there. To be fair to him, I think Gomez had this plan for quite a while, because if you look, he's got rid of Barrow, who's an out-and-out winger. He's tried to play him up front, but it's not really worked. Mm. I think he's sort of tried to shift a lot of the wingers out.
McCleary as well.
So he's obviously thinking, I can play fullbacks further forward up the pitch, and I've got players that are strikers, which I could put on the wing if I really needed to.
Yeah, that's a good point. And just on the question of who drops out of the starting 11, if you had to make a change, I mean, Pele is probably the one that you would consider maybe shifting out. Maybe you'd want to take Swift or Ajari out to make it a bit more defensive with Winamata in. But honestly, I think at the moment there isn't really a clear candidate off the bench to come in. So I fully expect that we will keep the same team. And a slightly different change in tone for RFC 1977's final question of the mailbag. This was relating to a very unfortunate incident in which a fan, or well, not a fan, but a football watcher from, I think it was Singapore, sent Yaku Mate a frankly racist tweet after we missed the penalty. The question is, do you think the club's response to the racism tweet was sufficient, or should they have been stronger? I think ultimately, the club came out and said that they're not going to give any oxygen to it, but obviously sort of backed Mate and condemned it in sort of the same terms as well. And obviously, it goes without saying that we obviously condemn it as well. I'm keen for Reading fans not to try and outrage each other, because there were a lot of people sort of upset with Jonathan Lowe because he put alleged racist tweet, because that's kind of following journalism law. I wouldn't have done it myself, but when you're trying to be safe and whatnot, that is probably what you have to do. Fortunately, it wasn't the sort of thing that happened inside the ground or anything involving anyone that I consider a Reading fan.
Yeah, let's make this clear though, Mark. That is absolute, not only cowardice, it's disgusting to say it to one of your own players, to say it to any player, don't get me wrong, to any player, absolute disgusting. Reading had six black players started that match on Saturday. And why anyone would think that's acceptable to say something like that to a player that has been good for us for 2 years, and just it boggles the mind. I can't understand why someone would be so cowardice that they'd hide behind it. Why would you do that? Why? I don't get it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And ultimately, I've the thing is, when it comes over this sort of, these sort of people are able to message players on Instagram, it's a level of cowardice behind the just frankly abhorrent racism. So it's an unsavoury incident, and sadly, it's the sort of thing that is, while, as I say, the sort of in the stadium racism hopefully is something that we're capable of dealing with at Reading. This sort of like social media messaging footballers directly and all that sort of stuff and leaving messages, sadly, isn't going anywhere at the moment. So
yeah, it's a growing trend as well, Mark.
Football is capable of doing something to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's a growing trend that needs stamping out rather quickly, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so let's move on then. Hopefully it's the last we sort of have to talk about these sort of incidents as a club, and we can move on now to some news bites.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
So one player, as we were just talking about wingers that have left, AD Popper has left on loan to Star Bucharest in a deal that I understand is £15,000 a week wages he's on. We're still paying £10,000 of those, Westy. So that's not that doesn't sound too good for us, but at least I think that's basically the last we'll see of him at the very least.
Yeah, and it's a good move for him. I mean, I'm sure he's more than happy to go and play for Steaua Bucharest. I mean, a good side. I'm sure it's great for him. But I say, we're still paying rather too much of the wages, I'm sure the club would like. But to get rid of him, I suppose they didn't have a lot of choice.
No, and apparently he's now the highest paid player in the Romanian league. So that really shows you that we did some fantastic business to bring him in. And also that the Romanian league is obviously of the highest quality.
He's done very well for himself, hasn't he, Mr. Popper?
Yeah. So also in the news, Reading have been drawn against Plymouth Argyle away in the Carabao Cup for the second round. That's on the 27th of August after we beat Wickham on penalties. We haven't really touched upon the Wickham game too much, Westy. What did you, as a sort of general summation, how did you find that game?
Well, I found it that it was a serviceable win that got us up and running. And I will say this, it must have been an absolute dream debut for Raphael. Because to be your first game and to save 2-3 penalties on your first game for a club in a penalty shootout, I doubt too many have much better than that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, I must admit, I was a bit ignorant when I went there and it went to full time. And I was like, oh, we've got extra time now. And they started lining up for penalties. I was like, hang on a second, what's happening here? So, but yeah, I mean, going to penalties rather than playing the extra 30 minutes, which can usually be a bit turgid, was a good idea. And I think, personally, the performance for the first 30 minutes was very good. We didn't score, therefore we had to kind of rely after they scored from a corner. So, you know, we're through. Hopefully we can get past Plymouth and, you know, maybe there'll be a big tie waiting for us, or maybe we'll be on a cup run, but that's not exactly the sort of thing we can hold out too much hope of just yet. Also, Danny Loader took to Instagram during the week to make it clear, really, that he didn't make a transfer request on the final day of the transfer window, when he almost went to Wolves. Reading, as we understand, pulled the plug at the last minute. He said that he's always been respectful to the club, will continue to give 100%. Westy, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the player here, purely on the basis that A, he's quite young, B, he is still at the club, so you may as well kind of get with him, C, you know, he's out of contract, but he's out of contract at the end of the season, but he was given the opportunity to go to a Premier League club. I wouldn't have necessarily turned it down if I was him. So, you know, we kind of, Liam Moore basically did the same thing a few seasons ago, so we kind of have to accept it, move on, and hope he, A, develops as a player, and B, signs a new contract.
I think we all have to get some things in perspective. I mean, he's an 18-year-old lad. He's by no means made it yet. People might think he has at 18, but I don't think he has. And to go to Wolves, you're probably going to give him a three-year contract. On probably better wages he's on now. Who could blame him? Because now he's taking the risk that if he lets his contract run out, he might break his leg in the next couple of weeks and then never play again. So that's the situation these players are in. And I think sometimes we look at it from our point of view rather than theirs. And who could have blamed him if he'd have gone to Wolves? I mean, I think his career would have disappeared. He might have ended up a bit like some of the other players that have gone up and disappeared back down the divisions. I think his development chances are better at Reading than it would have been at Wolves. But again, you've just got to do what's right for yourself, and who could have blamed him? And I'm sure that whenever he pulls on a Reading shirt again, he's going to give all he's got.
Yeah, scored the winning penalty against Wickham, in fact. And I tend to agree. I think that when the sort of players that have moved on, like Aaron Tishbowler, is the sort of one that immediately jumps to mind. And where is he playing now? Like, good question. It's that sort of thing, and he'd have just sat in the reserves, and he'd have maybe gone alone a couple of times, wouldn't have played Premier League football in the next 3 years, as far as I could tell, given the quality of their team. Obviously, he's not really playing first team football now at Reading, bar the odd substitute appearance. In the under-23s, he played along with Michael Olise and Jordan Obita, as Reading lost 2-0 to Man United in the Premier League 2 for the under-23s season kicking off. The week before, they beat Newcastle 6-0. So an interesting start to their campaign, and the women kick off in 3 weeks' time for those waiting for some women's results to come through. So let's jump through onto the next part of the show now, because it's big game preview, and we've got two big away trips coming up this week.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Read the blog on thetarlhurstend.com.
Right then, two games, West Brom and Huddersfield, two teams with very contrasting fortunes at the moment. 8 p.m. at the Hawthorns on Wednesday is West Brom. And Westy, you said earlier that you tipped them to win the league at the start of the season. I doubt there's really much reason to change that at the moment. For me, they just kind of seem like the same team as last season. They're going to be very good in attack. They're quite ropey at home, though, and anything that we can get out of this game has to be taken as a good, you know, a good point, or obviously an amazing 3 points.
Yeah, I think we're going to go there with confidence, which is one great thing. And again, I think they're going to be a lot more worried about us after Sunday than they would have been at the start of the season. I think Reading are more than capable of getting some out of this game. It could be one of those nights where we put on a good away performance and get more than something out of it, get a good win out of it. And if we did, again, our confidence would be through the roof, because, as I said earlier, West Brom's have got to be one of the favourites to finish in the top six as a minimum, with the players they've got and the size of their club. I'm looking forward to that one. And Huddersfield is probably a bad time to play them,
because Jan Sievert was sacked after the Fulham defeat. They can't buy a win. They can barely buy a goal. And, you know, we're up against a team that are going to have some sort of bounce. And they've got, obviously, two games this week. I can just quickly check who they're playing in the week before they play us. They actually go to Cardiff on Wednesday night, and then our game is the first home game for, I think it's Mark Hudson's kind of taken charge. I don't know if he's there temporarily or permanently, but it is that sort of really tricky banana skin. And obviously, yeah, banana skin, obviously, away to a team that's just been relegated from the Premier League, might, maybe not the right term, but just you almost don't know what you're going to get.
No, but I think if they're playing Cardiff on Wednesday night, I mean, Cardiff would want to bounce back from what they would have considered a poor result on Sunday. If Cardiff can turn them over, then the crowd that I heard when I watched them the other night on Friday was quite easy to turn on their players, because, like I said, they've been used to getting beat over the last 40, 50 games. So if they get beat on Wednesday and Reading the score early, I think the floodgates could open at Huddersfield as well. I'm really, really confident at the moment, Mark. I really think that these look like two hard games on paper, well, three hard games on the trot. I think a lot of people were worried that we might be bottom of the league after five matches. But judging by Sunday's performance, I don't think Reading have anything to worry about in this division.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to sort of the looking ahead to the next few games, it's a busy period actually for Reading up until the international break, because we've got Plymouth on the Tuesday after Huddersfield, and then we host Charlton, which actually from this point of view could turn out to be a very tricky game, because Charlton have started quite well, and you know, that's not necessarily a game we can walk into expecting an easy 3 points. Quick word before we move on to the predictions then is that Star, obviously with the free coach travel to 15 away games this season. If you're looking to go to West Brom or Huddersfield, I've been told that you can, of course, buy Star coach tickets online rather than going up to the little hut outside the East Stand. So just to make it nice and easy. Obviously, I don't think the free travel hasn't extended to the Plymouth game, of course, because that being a League Cup game. But yeah, West Brom and Huddersfield, I've been told that you can buy those tickets online. Prediction-wise then, Westy, congratulations to yourself and myself and Handbags, because we all got our first points on the weekend for our optimism of beating Cardiff. Sadly, Handbags didn't get the consolation goal that would have made his 3-1 prediction correct, but our 2-1 predictions came out not too bad.
No, not too bad at all. Like I said, we had a different side by the time I predicted, so I was pretty confident we'd get some out of it. In fact, my dad rung me. He lives down in Plymouth now, so he's going on Tuesday with my two boys who live down there. And he said to me, what should I do first scorer? Because he's not been watching Reading for a couple of years now. He's been moved away. And I said Puskas, and he put a fiver on him, so that worked out quite well. Obviously, gamble aware. It's not been getting clever. But on this occasion, he won a few quid, so my dad was happy with me.
Yeah, gamble aware, and personally I'd say never bet on Reading, because the moment that you do, that'll be the moment they lose. So
I tend not to, I must admit.
So in terms of our prediction league at the moment, very early doors, but Wim and Johnny both nailed the whole result, so they've got 3 points. Then the three of us, myself, Westy and Handbags, following on a point. Let's just focus on West Brom at the moment, because obviously the Huddersfield game and beyond that's going to be changed from then. So West Brom away, what do you think's going to happen?
I'm going for another win. 2-1 win to Reading.
That's interesting. I'm going to go for 2-2 draw, because I think this is the potential. I'm not convinced that our defence is completely fixed yet, certainly against a West Brom team that are going to be decent at the very least. And I think our attack at the moment, it just looks very difficult to defend against. I'm sure teams are going to work us out at some point, but not yet. So I think there's going to be goals, and I think 2-2 is a pretty reasonable prediction.
I think I'm getting caught in a trap that I normally get caught in, where I get too excited about things and start making stupid predictions. But I'm going to stick with it.
Well, let's see how it pans out. As I say, for next week's show, there isn't going to be a kind of West Brom and Huddersfield analysis, because we'll have our 200th episode spectacular, where we'll be having some former podcast favourites dropping by to tell us their favourite Reading memories. And that's all, as I say, that's all edited. It's all set to go online. I can tell you that it's actually something I'm very pleased with. I think the stuff we're talking about is actually going to be really interesting. So please look out for that over the bank holiday weekend. The next time I'll be sat here with the laptop recording a podcast is about 2 weeks away, well, after the Charlton game. So I'll bid you farewell until then. Please tune in for the 200th episode. And Westy, thank you very much for dropping by.
Mate, it's always a pleasure. I absolutely love it.
And hopefully we'll be absolutely loving it in a couple of weeks' time when we come back from four very difficult games, because West Brom and Huddersfield away, who knows what sort of teams are going to turn up. Let's just imagine that they're going to be good for the sake of not being too complacent. It's very easy to fall into complacency after a fantastic 3-0 win. All I'd urge is to simply enjoy it. Don't worry about what it means for the rest of the season just yet. Just enjoy the fact that in front of the Sky cameras, we put 3 goals past Neil Warnock and took 3 precious points. Come on, you arse.
smile. Funny how the crowds always leave a trail, even when it seems on your trail. Funny how I always leave a trail. You smile, why? Why do you sit on this side of the tree? Please tell me why. Why don't you break this old biscuit? It's funny how the crowds always leave.